This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How'd you come to the project?
Mike White. Let me actually not have this in my hand because it might be slightly disturbing. I'm like, this would be very bad for
just
you guys.
Bring it into the radio.
Right? Mike and I met several years ago on a film he'd written and was considering the idea of first-time directing, and I really, really loved him immediately. And so we always talked about doing his first movie together. So the idea was, hopefully, that when that happened, I could be part of it in some way. And he said he wanted to send me the script, and there were a bunch of smaller parts in it, but would I do this? Because he was finally getting to direct his first movie. And I said, that sounds great. You know, send it to me, and I really want to support this, and you, and I'm so excited. And then, tragically, I had to put my dog to sleep the day before he sent his script. Aww. So I read the movie, and I called him up. I'm like, dude, how could you do this to me? There's no way I'm not doing this movie. I'd serve coffee if I had to. I just fell so in love with the script, and I felt like it was my own little tribute to Buddy Love, who I lost that day. So I was in. It was easy. I mean, the part was almost inconsequential. But then on top of it, he asked me to play the most exhausting person I've ever come in contact with. So I had so much fun that that was easy, too.
Was it written so high-strung, or was that something you brought to it?
I think certainly that was his intent. I mean, that's what he wanted. We worked on it together some and, you know, tried to make her as high-strung, obnoxious, and obsessive as we possibly could, I guess. And hopefully still trying to be somewhat human and relatable.
And how would you explain your relationship to your to the Molly Shannon character?
I am her... In actuality, I'm her sister-in-law. Tom McCarthy, who so wonderfully plays my husband, is her brother, and... you know, we're the obsessed new parents who, you know, parallel her like many of the characters around her do with sort of our brand of what true love is. But I think on a more esoteric level, the core of the movie is about tolerance, and it has to do with how everyone has their own expression and experience of love. And as obsessed as it may seem from somebody else's perspective, that's their experience of love, be it with your child, with your dog, with your lover, whatever it may be.
So how would you explain Mike versus David Lynch?
I just said to somebody earlier, I think they're pretty aligned, I've got to say. They're pretty right in the same tribe that I luckily find myself with. They're both people who have unbelievably unique voices as individuals and as artists. You meet them and you'll never meet another Mike and you'll never meet another David, and that's awfully refreshing, and I'm sure you guys have met both, so it's like, it's a fantastic experience to work with somebody who's so defined in what their vision is. And they both have a wonderful irreverence to them. It's just that Mike... As extreme as it may be, Mike's extremes relate back to what remains deeply authentic. And David is more interested in the abstract in his extremes. So they have different visions, but are both visionaries.
So many of Mike's characters are based on people that he knows, that he's seen. Was this someone that he told you, oh, this is my friend, whatever, my sister, my... Whatever.
He didn't say for sure, but he certainly gave me the sense that he knows people, or it may be amalgam of various people, because I know I had my own influences on it, not based on a person, but based on being a new mom myself, on where areas of obsessiveness can rear their ugly head, sometimes in positive ways, but most of the time in negative ways. But I think for him... I'm sure, knowing the way he works and the way he writes, that I'm sure there are people who will influence him. Tonight, if they come to the movie, he may sadly lose a lot of friends.
You have kids?
Yeah.
So you're an obsessive mother, you think?
Yes.
How so?
I'm not a perfectionist. I don't believe anything I do is sort of perfect, and I'm really comfortable with imperfection in most areas, not at all. And so that's where we're not aligned, me and my character, Brett. But certainly, you know, the moment I had children, I decided that my job was to control the world they lived in at every step. I'm also aware that that's impossible, whereas Brett, I think, believes she can. But I'm sure I'm neurotic and obsessive in ways that probably are not healthy, because I would like to, you know, make everything perfect for them. But in the area that I'm proud of being obsessive, but I also am deeply obsessive, is their environment. And sort of within the home, I'm quite obsessive about having a chemically free environment, and we eat all organic, and there's no household cleaning chemicals, and, you know, things like that I'm quite obsessed with. And but I'm obsessed not because I have made it up as a neuroses, but because I work with an organization called Children's Health Environmental Coalition for a long time. So I've learned what is good and what isn't, and what is safe and what isn't. So I'm just really giving them that which I know. But it certainly, from the outside, can seem highly obsessive at times.
Do you and Ben balance each other out with the kids, you think?
We do, and in lots of different areas, but he also is certainly like I am, because then I'll tell him, oh my God, you're not going to believe what I just learned about, I don't know, you know, pesticides for the lawn, or something like that, you know, bug spray, whatever it is, and then he becomes also obsessed to make sure everything is safe.
Do you ever find that Brett's personality is seeping into your real life in terms of her types of obsessiveness and how she relates to people? Do you find yourself kind of slipping into that occasionally?
It's like that, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, I think we both influenced each other back and forth in that very area we were just talking about with, you know, my obsessions. We sort of added into the character a bit, and her obsessions, hopefully not too many of them leaked into mine. But, you know, when you try to find a character relatable, of course she would be paranoid to leave her kids with Molly overnight. And she does, and it's a disaster. So the one time she actually was sort of free was a disastrous mistake. So I fear for her, because I'm sure once she found her furs and found out that her sister-in-law was seemingly going crazy, she probably was like, I will never leave my child with anyone ever again. I knew I was right to be this overprotective.
Were there any scenes while you were shooting that you were excited to see on screen?
Kind of all of it, because I thought it was so funny. And I mean that for the whole movie, not just scenes I was in. There are moments in this movie that I think are just so hysterically funny, that I just had a blast watching it. I've only seen it once, and I'm eager to see it again tonight, because I just loved the actors so much. I mean, everybody is so good. Josh Page, is that how you say his name? Who plays the boss is unbelievable. Oh my God, he's so incredible. And Peter Sarsgaard and his weeping scene of I mean, just stuff everybody does. Everybody's just so good and so perfect in whatever their sort of obsessive area is, you know. I mean, he so defined the characters to support his intent in the movie. I was really impressed by that.
Being in such a sensitive place, were you able to hang out with all the dogs?
I wish I had more. I mean, I unfortunately, I think I'm the one person who didn't have many scenes with animals in this movie. But I'm a huge beagle lover, because I kind of grew up part-time in Mississippi. So anything that has a hound variety to it is a dog I love. And I'm a big dog lover. So whenever I got a chance, I was definitely around them. But I wasn't in scenes with them much.
Did you get a new dog?
I haven't yet. We're supposed to in a couple of weeks now.
What do you think you're going to get?
So, well, we're big rescuers, and I think Mike wouldn't have it any other way now that I've bit hung around him more, too. He's highly influential. But my son is in love with beagles, so we might find our way to some mix.
So are you going to have a house with 20 dogs in it?
I have had 5 dogs and 2 cats at one time and was vegan, I have to admit. And at one point in my life, that did exist. I wasn't by myself, though. There was like a tribe of us sharing a house, so we kind of had a group love fest with those animals. But I know this is the first time in my life I don't have a dog for a minute, but I've always had at least a few animals.
You have kids, that's, you know.
Yeah, then that takes over. It's a little overwhelming.
So are you reading some scripts right now? Do you have another project coming up?
I am trying to figure that out this very second. I am, sort of working my way to a couple of things that I can't speak about yet, but are hopefully in the near future. And trying to figure out what to do next, where I feel lucky to have options, but want to do something that I'm excited about. And I had so much fun on this movie that I would like to have fun again. Not to say doing Inland Empire for 3 years wasn't a blast, because it was, but laughing all the time was also quite fun, so it would be fun to do something funny again.
So then based on what you just said, then comedy really interests you, and that's where you want to go with your next film? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I have had an unusual career in that when those of us who have spoken before have met, whether people would agree with us or not, I thought I was in comedies, but other people may not categorize them as such, including David Lynch's movies and Citizen Ruth and a few other things. But often my character is miserable in the middle of the comedy, and that's what makes it funny. I'd look forward to doing a comedy where my character might be having some fun also. That might be great.
This sounds somewhat like a fanboy question, but since I know it's actually in development, they are working on a new Jurassic Park 4. Have you heard anything? Have they said, hey,
I'm told it's happening, and I'm told that they're calling me.
Okay.
And I'm told Ellie Sattler is involved in it.
Are you interested in going back?
Well, a certain fella is the one that called me, and it's hard to say no to him. Because he's always got something totally genius up his sleeve. So we'll see what they have in mind. But I don't know anything about it at this point.
And they haven't even told you when it would shoot or when...
No. I think in the within the year.
Yeah, I think it's 2009 or 8.
Yeah, that they want to release it in 08 or something.
Yeah,
so maybe...
It.
I don't know.
Does it make it difficult for you to plan a project when you have this thing sitting out there that you don't know if it's firm or not, but you have this over here?
It can be, but I've learned a different route, actually mentioning this film, Inland Empire. Having worked on something for 3 years, which is the biggest commitment I've ever made to something, has taught me a whole new way of detachment. And sort of going with the flow and just letting the art kind of find you or carry you, because otherwise it just all gets far too stressful. And that was a movie where I dedicated myself to that and just had to sort of fit in, frankly, Year of the Dog and this film Tenderness and another film, Lonely Hearts, that's coming out soon too. I did small parts in all the movies because I was working with David at the same time, so I couldn't do anything really more than a couple of weeks or something like that.
Have you been in touch with your other Jurassic co-stars, so would you know if it's the whole gang?
Actually, I just oddly talked to Sam Neill shortly before I arrived here, but we didn't speak about that. And it's always an awkward thing, because you don't... Sometimes one person's in it and another person isn't, and who knows who's going to do it or not do it, or... So it's the unspoken dinosaur date. We'll see.
So after all the pressure you're doing for this, you're going to take a break, go on vacation for a little bit. What are you going to do?
A vacation sounds awfully good, I must say. But if my husband and I can figure out a time when we can both do it, it'd be great.
Guys, we
got
to wrap it up.
Where are some places you'd like to go?
Costa Rica. That's one place I'd really like to go. I'd like to go to India, but I can't do that with my family yet. I've never been to India. But I'm trying to find out a place I'd love to go that also you can take a two-year-old, which is interestingly challenging, I've learned. So actually, as she knows, my Costa Rican vacation may become Legoland. That is where I'm supposed to. It was going to be Costa Rica next week, but it may be San Diego, but it's going to be a blast. Because at my house, that's the number one choice. Costa Rica, what is that? I'm like, it's a country, it's amazing, we'll be in nature. I just want to go to Legoland.